much.
That's true.
I'm gonna take my time.
Amen.
Yes.
You're gonna sing?
No, I'm not gonna sing.
Man, y'all gonna hear a full message today.
Amen.
So you're more than welcome to feel that it's not enough. You're more than welcome to leave. Today we're gonna I'm gonna continue where I left off the last time. We're gonna pick up right where we left off. Let me give you my topic. Well, let me give you my scripture, and then we'll go to my topic, and we'll go to the message. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah, the 14th chapter. It should be on the board if you don't. Isaiah, the 14th chapter. And the 12th verse reads, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the north, in the side of the north, and I will ascend above the highest of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God." You may be seated. Now let me summarize a little bit what I said before, what we talked about before, and then we're going to the message. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, I'm just warning you, I'm going to capture everything about the kid that the woman is going to understand. So it says in the beginning, there was God. So in the beginning, there was God, or we should say, it's God, or it is God. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, there was, before the world was, it was God himself, and it was they, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It was the counsel of his own essence. If it was God and God alone and by himself, then why didn't God just remain in that state? Why did he just create beings from that point on? Why didn't he just remain himself and God alone? Why create? Now let me. I'm still in my summary though. But if you were in the presence of God, and let's say for instance, you run 100 miles, a billion miles. You just running a billion miles. Do you know that if you ran a million or trillion miles, you would be still in the presence of God? Because the God's presence consumes the consumption. It is everywhere. There's nowhere you can go without being in front of, in the face of God, because he is the Shekinah glory, and he's everywhere. God desires that of himself. What we know about God is that only because he shares that with us. God shares a lot of things with us. He shares us his love. He shares us his presence. And he shares us his peace. That's why Jesus says, "My peace I give unto you." He shares that with us. But there's one thing that God won't share with you, and that's worship. He won't share that glory with you, because that is designed for him and him alone. God needs nothing or desires anything from no one. He needs nothing to exist. And he is the fulfillment of himself. He is the complete of the completed. He is the perfection of the perfection. He is the divine of the divinities, and he is the holy of the holy. So therefore, at some point of God's existence, God begins to create. Now, when God creates, it only shows a bare minimum of his power and his awesomeness. Just a bare minimum. One guy says to me at my job, he said, Michael, if... And he just busts out of the blue on this, Michael. He said, "Michael, if God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, then the Holy Spirit must be the female of the group." I said, stop. I said, "Where are you getting this teaching from?" He said, "Well, we go to, him and his wife goes to what is called a Shabbat. And what they do is that they learn more about the Jewish laws and Jewish customs and all that." And I told him one thing. I said, "You need to stop going there. You need to stop." And I explained to him why we call it, why it's called God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The reason why it's called God the Father is because in the Old Testament, y'all, and understand this, in the Old Testament, anytime when God talks to his people, he always says to other people, he said, I am the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. He always says that. But somehow, look at this, somehow in the New Testament, Jesus steps out of heaven, comes down to earth and says, you know, and he sits next to man. He says, you know, God is holy. That means he's holy, he's distanced from us. But he's also your father because now he wants to draw close to you. So I said to him, I said, you see, God wants to hear us. And that's why Jesus says, when you pray to the Father, pray to him, our Father. Because God wants to have a relationship with you. I said, that's why we call him our Father. It's how God relates to us and how he relates to, we like relates to him. And the reason why we call it God the Son, because Jesus, it's not that Jesus is God's son, although it is Jesus is God's son, but it's not that what you think it is. It's because God stepped out of heaven and took on human form, and he died for us, so we are adopted into the family of God. So therefore, we are sons of God. That's why we call it God the Father, God the Son. And I explained about the Holy Spirit. I said, when you talk about God, the Holy Spirit, I said, God wants to live within inside of us, and he wants to connect with us. And not only that, but he wants us to have that relationship with God, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. And he's going to continuously press for you until you get it. That's just the way it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, let's begin. Throughout all eternity, possibly, now this is a possibility, possibly hundreds, thousands, millions, or billion years ago from the time that God created the earth, that God said to the universe, at some point God says, when he created the earth, he says, let us create man in our own image. Now, if God said that, did you know God created something before he created the earth? He created the angels. And could it be, scripture doesn't say, could it be that God said, let us create an angelical host in our own being? Now, I don't believe God blew breath into them because they are entities, they are spirits, and when God spoke, he spoke out of consumption of himself. It is within the light of himself, the Shekinah glory, he spoke them into existence. He spoke them from the highest angelical beings to the lowest angelical beings. How many were there? We don't know. We just know that there's millions of them. Then why does God create the angels? You want to know why? There's several reasons, but let me tell you about one reason that's on my mind. I believe God wanted to have eyewitnesses what he is about to do. I believe God wanted to have eyewitnesses about creation. The reason why I say that, because in the book of Job, the 38th chapter, the 4th and through the 7th verse, the Bible says that he came to Job and said, Job, where were you when I created the earth? Do you know the dimensions that there was? Do you know the atmosphere? Do you know the temperature? And Job had to shut his mouth because he didn't know. And God says, but there's only one group of people who know, and that's the angelical beings. And they shout out glory to God because they know, because they were created before the earth was created. And they know that. And yes, even Lucifer was there. And he knows that. So God begins to create his heavenly rule, his heavenly kingdom. And with that, he begins to appoint, structure, and design his army, his leaders, and the duties and the purposes that they would have. They would be overseers, they would be watchers and keepers and protectors and maintain order. God begins to speak his army into existence and his government. Now, when God creates the angels, now follow me, y'all. I'm going to go slow with this. When God creates the angels, he creates them in three spheres. First of all, if you have it up there, he creates them in three spheres. The first sphere of angels is the seraphims. And the second set of angels is the cherubims, and then there's thrones. Now stop right there. When it talks about the seraphims, The Bible says that they have two wings to veil their face, two wings to veil their feet, and two wings to fly. Now let me explain this. The reason why they have two wings to veil their face, because they need something to shield their face, to cover their face from the holiness of God. Because God is a Shekinah glory, and they can't look upon him as they see him.
Hallelujah.
They need a covering for their face.
Yeah.
Not only know that, but they need two wings to veil their feet. Why do they need to cover their feet? Uh-huh. Because they are creaturely beings, and they need something to cover their creatureliness. That's why do you think that the Bible told Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground that you're standing on is holy.
Yeah.
Because wherever God's placed his presence at, it is holy. So therefore, the angelical beings, they actually couldn't stand on the ground that God was. They had to lift up off the ground a little bit and fly. So they covered their creatureliness. I'm just explaining what it is, y'all. The Bible even says that they have two wings to veil their back. Now, it's not that they mean it, that they needed to fly. It just shows the swiftness that they will have throughout the universe. That's all it shows.
Yeah, yeah.
See, now, understand that God does not, he describes the angelical beings, but that's not what's important to God. What's important is their purpose that they're going to do for God. That's what's important. See, the seraphims, they actually are surrounded by God. And they watch over the activity of God. That's all. That's all they watch over. They know all the activity of God. It's not that they are foreknowing or foreknowledge like God, but they watch how God moves and God speaks through the earth. And they cry out, holy, because they see all this activity that God is doing and all the angelical beings. They cry out, holy, holy, holy. Then you talk about the cherubims. The cherubims, y'all, they protect the holiness of God. Now, if the seraphims protect they watch over the activity of God, the cherubims watch over the holiness of God. They keep the throne of God holy and free from defilement. Why do you think that when Satan comes to God and asks for permission to tempt Job, that he had to first come by the cherubims? You can't come. This is as far as you go to speak to God.
Wow.
We're going to explain that more. Wow. Now, we come to the thrones. Now, the thrones, the cherubims and the thrones, they work in conjunction with one another. They are connected with one another. When one moves, the other moves. When one stops, the other stops. Now, follow me, y'all. Because they protect the throne of God. So if anybody has a message, if an angelical being has a message for God, if Satan has a message for God, he has to come through the thrones first to be ushered into the presence of God. They have to.
Wow. Lord.
To be ushered. See, when the Bible says that Satan wanted to tempt Job and he came to God, before he came to God, he had to come by the thrones. And what happened was, Satan came to heaven, and the thrones met him first. And the throne says, okay, stay right here. Let me talk to the cherubims. The cherubims went and said, God, Satan is here and he has a question for you. He wants to see if he can tempt Job. Tell him to come forth. So they usher Satan, the Bible says it, and the sons of God came with him. So they usher Satan, into the cherubim's realm, into the holiness of God. See, he couldn't be by God because he was defiled. He couldn't. So he had to stand at a distance right where the cherubims was, because they protect the holiness of God. They had to. And then when Satan got done and said, okay, thank you, Lord, he was escorted out by the cherubims as well, too.
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
The holiness of God is very, very sacred. You just can't say or do anything in front of God.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out later on. Now let's go to the second group. The second group of angels is called dominions and lords. virtues and strongholds, and powers and authorities. Now, the reason why they call it thrones, because the thrones, they are actually, they handle domestic lower angels. And they rarely make themselves known to people. So they actually domesticate all the rest of the angels. Then you have what is called the virtues or the strongholds. Now, these are the angelic beings. They perform signs and wonders. They intervene into the world. They intervene into affairs. They can appear in human form, but they do not entertain people. But they intervene and they perform interventions. They do eliminations. They only do what's granted to them. Although they do what's granted to them, they do not fall away from what's granted to them. They work perfectly according to authority. They do not meddle. Like, you know, some people do and say, I got this authority. So they meddle in other stuff. And we don't go into that further. Then you have what is called powers and authority. These are, now, get this, y'all. I like this group of angels. These are strictly supervisors of the movement of heavenly bodies. They ensure that the cosmos or the universe remains in order. See, they're considered as the war angels. They oppose demonic spirits. And this is later on after the fall of Satan. They oppose demonic spirits, and they represent the word of God and only. Because the reason why they represent the word of God, because the demonic spirits can get out of control. They can be untamable. They can say what they want to say, do what they want to do. Why do you think that the Bible says in the book of Genesis that the demonic spirits had sex with the women? It's because they stepped out of their realm. And God had war angels to capture them and put them into and bound them into hell. They stepped out of their realm, and they will do that today. So they represent God, and in the book of Job, do you want to know why Satan comes to God and asks for permission? The reason why he comes to God to ask for permission, because he don't want to overstep his boundaries. He don't want to go outside the limits of God. He want to say what God tells him to do, and that's it. So, do y'all remember when it says in the Bible, Satan comes to God and says, the only reason why Job serves you is because you got a hedge around him. Do you know what that hedge was? It's angelical beings. These are war angels that surrounded his property. And Satan says, I can't get to him because you got that hedge around him. And Satan says, remove the hedge. Take away the angelical beings and I can get him. And guess what happened? He took his ox, he took his lambs, he took his sons and his daughters, he killed them. Remove that hedge and I can get them. And also, these angelical beings are war angels, and they are told and be said that they have armory. They have helmets and they have armor, they have swords. Do you know why? They do have swords, because in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that when Adam and Eve sinned and sinned against God, there was placed a cherubim. And he was there with a flaming sword. So they can't come back into the garden and eat off the tree of life so they can live forever. So God placed an angel there to keep them out. The war angels, and they completely are loyal to God. Now, let's talk about the third group of angelical beings. We're going to wrap all this up. I'm trying to break it down. The third group of angels are principalities, rulers, archangels, and angels. Get this, y'all. These group of angelical beings are involved in their heavenly guidance, protectors, and mentors of humans. The principalities are rulers. These are a group of angelical beings. They protect the nations. They protect the church. They preside over churches to make sure that you all preach the gospel. And if the gospel is not preached, guess what? They report it to God. Now, I'm not saying that God don't know. God knows everything, but this is the way God set it up. He set it up that way that there is always an angelical being presiding over every church. Wow. And when they don't preach the gospel, they report it back to God.
Yeah.
And God come down and bring a judgment upon them.
Yeah.
It may take years. It may take months. But God knows about it.
Yeah.
They are keepers of the church. They deliver messages and they take messages. They report it. Now we come to what is called archangels. Now get this, y'all. I love this. These are the ones that pass judgment. The Bible says that God came to Abraham and said to Abraham, Abraham, Solomon and Gomorrah, sin has come upon me, and I'm ready to judge it. And Abraham says, no, suppose you find 40 or 50 or 30, would you spare the city? God said, I will spare the city. So what happened was, after Abraham said what he said, the angelical beings, these are dominions, they went into Solomon and Gomorrah, and they found that there was no one there, only but Lot and his family. And then when these gay men was coming to the door to try to enter in to have sex with these angelical beings, they opened up the door and they blinded. They cast a spell. They blinded all of them. And he told Lot, he said, Lot, get out of here while they're blind. And then when they got Lot and his family out, they went immediately to heaven and reported to God. And God brought a judgment down. God told the archangel, go there in Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy it.
Yeah.
They passed the judgment of God. You may not believe it. Well, suppose, let me say this. When God comes to Moses, and Moses tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Pharaoh refused to do it. So eventually there was plagues after plagues after plagues, and then eventually it came down to God said, okay, the firstborn is going to be born, going to be killed. And God says, anyone that does not have the blood over their post or their home, the firstborn is going to be killed. And guess what came by that night? The archangel came by. Some people call it a death angel. It's not a death angel. It's a judgment angel. He's going to do exactly what God told him to do. You said the firstborn? I'm going to get the firstborn. I'm not going to get the second. I'm going to get the firstborn. Now, then we talk about angels. Now, these are lower of the angels, but they're not irrelevant, but they're angels. And they're beings, they're most recognized, and they are in charge of you all's daily living. I want you to know that. They are in charge of you. They are involved in your life. They're involved in your family. They're involved in your watch over your family at night. You wonder why some people get pulled out of burning cars. Because an angelical being just showed up and pulled them out and just vanished.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to know why an angelical being would speak to a dog to go into a house and pull a baby out of a house, a burning building? That's an angelical being. Then some of y'all want to know why y'all got a haunted house. That's because y'all don't have an ADT system, an angelical defense team.
Yeah.
You don't have it. My house is haunted. Well, because why? You don't have no protection.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to put it the way it is.
Thank you,
Jesus. They wake you up at night. Oh, no. I heard something. Well, that's why you need to bless your home. Say, Lord, watch over my home. Lord, my son is going to war. Lord, can you send an angel being to watch over him? You can pray that. Lord, keep me through the night. That's your ADT system. Understand that God wants us to know that his presence is special, his sanctity and his holiness must be guarded from defilement. And the second thing is that he is the only one to be served, and there is no other way around it.
Amen.
See, God wants eyewitnesses, not that he needed eyewitnesses, but he wanted eyewitnesses to share with him the marvelous work that he had done. That's why he created them first. They will declare and defend the creation that God done. They will applaud it. Say, he is the creator of all things. He's the first and the last. And there's none after him. Now, after all this is going on, the cherubim, the seraphim, and all these, now we come to an angelical being called Lucifer. Lucifer means morning star. Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, in the 13th and 14th verse says, he was a sign of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty and light and brightness, bright morning star. You were in the Garden of Eden. Every precious stone was your covering, and every the gold, the emerald, was your setting, and it was engraved in you. I mean that all these things were in him, and that what made his shine. That what made him glorified. He was almost like the sun, but he wasn't the sun, the S-U-N. He was almost like the sun. You couldn't really look upon him because of the brightness, but you could see him. He was anointed cherubim, and God has placed him in the holy mountain. And he walked upon the stars and the fire. And he was blameless to the day that he was created. He was the anointed cherubim, which means the highest creation that God has ever created. He was a seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That he was perfect in beauty, but that does not mean that he's more beautiful than God and the Holy Spirit and God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was a symbolic that he was almost unapproachable. He was the covering for God. He was a protection of God. Lucifer means brightness. Now get this, y'all. It means brightness. So when Satan sins against God, the brightness, and it could have went two ways, but I'm just going to say it the way I'm thinking this thing. I think what happened was when Satan sinned against God, the brightness got dimmer, dimmer, and dimmer, until it went totally dark. Totally dark. Because what happened was Satan was, he would stand on a high place of God where all could be seen by him. He was a throne. He would give, he would report. When he speaks, he was almost like a pitch. It would be almost like an instrumental voice, a messenger to the universe and the universe back to him. His position was instrumental. He almost consummate the worship of God in an effective way that it all God gets the full effect of the worship. Hope that makes sense. He was an orchestrator. He was intelligent. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he was full of wisdom, which only tells me one thing, that God did allow him to use his own judgment and wisdom in heaven. And I think it came to the point where he would tell archangels and angelical beings, go over here. Guard this region of the universe. Guard this. Watch this. And he was use his own wisdom. And at some point of his administration, he set his heart out to be like God. Instead of Lucifer consummating that worship, he began to consume it. Lucifer was not trying to dethrone God, but he was trying to be like God, which is impossible. Yeah. Lucifer began to confine the authority and began to become selfish in every way. Right. You know how some of us do. Man, I brought this business to where it is. I've done this. I got to train this guy to be my manager. You know how we do. Satan said the same exact same thing. I'm too wise. I'm too beautiful. I've even gave my own judgment and not even inquire of God, even though he inquired some of it from God, but he didn't inquire a lot of it from God. He may have said that. I use my own judgment. Isaiah, the 14th chapter and the 12th verse says, Satan used his own emotions. So that lets you know he got a free will. He got a choice. He said, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars. When he says stars, it means the angelical beings. I will sit upon the mountain and assembly of God of Zion. I will ascend to the top of the clouds. Yeah. I will make myself like the Most High God. See, he's exalting himself. That's all he's doing. He does not want to be a servant of God anymore. He does not want to be what he was created to do. He was to be served God, and that's only. And that's why Eve believed the lie. Satan tricked Eve to believe what he wanted. He wanted to be God, so he's going to try to trick Eve to believe that she can be God too. And you know what? I believe, now scripture doesn't say this, but I come to believe that Satan also tried Adam as well too. I would believe that. Because the reason I say, and probably when he tried Adam, Adam refused him and declined his offer and just left it, and Satan just said, forget it. And then when God comes along and creates another being, he probably said, I can get her. I'm going to try her as well. Lucifer begins to persuade other angelical beings. He probably went to the highest of the angelical beings and says, this is what I'm planning to do. What do you think about this? And this is what I'm planning to do. And if you follow me, I will give you this region that you have right now. You possess it. If you follow me, I will make sure that you be ruler of the dark places. Just follow me. I will bring you, God gave you this position, but I can give you one better. I believe he came to the lowest of the lowest angels and said, look, you've been working for God for so long, he has not gave you a raise. You've been working, doing this thing for so long. Look, that boy that you're watching over, he got an attitude problem. Leave him. If you come follow me, I will make you ruler of all this country right here. You will be able to possess people. To take control of their bodies. Just follow me. I'll give you power. I will give you authority. I believe he did that. You'll be able to cast spells. You'll be able to do black magic and white magic, and you'll be able to do miracles in front of people. People will follow you and they will worship you. And when Lucifer began to set his heart towards to be like God, he took 30% of the angelical beings with him. And if God and the angelical beings begin to listen to what Satan is talking about. Notice that he was selfish. This had to be so. Because the Bible says in Matthew the 4th chapter and 19th verse, Satan comes to Jesus and says, and shows him, and Jesus is in the wilderness, shows him, takes him to a high mountain and shows him and says, if you follow me, if you worship me and bow down and worship me, what did he say? I will make you second in my kingdom. I will give you all this over this region here. Just follow me. And what did Jesus do to beat him? It is written. At that point, the Bible says that when sin was found in him, God confronted him. Satan began to get dimmer and dimmer, and when it totally dark, and when he left heaven, he started casting out darkness. That's why you think, why do you think that the earth, the space is dark? It's because of him. The Bible says in Ezekiel the 28th chapter, 11th and 19th verse, it says, God says, I will cast you to the ground. I will expose you before kings to feast their eyes upon you. By the multiples of your iniquities, you're in your unrighteous trade, you profane your sanctuaries. So I brought you down out of the fire which was within you. It consumed you and turned you into ashes on the earth. In the sight, all will see you. And Jesus says in Luke the 10th chapter in 18th verse, Jesus says, I seen him. I seen Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And it does not mean that Satan was falling from heaven. It means that once that God seen the sin in him, the iniquity in him, God immediately removed him from that position. God wasn't playing. God instructed the angelical beings, take this cherubim and him and his demonic spirit, take him off of this throne and kick him out. Because Revelation the 12th chapter and the 7th and 19th verse says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his archangels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither the place that they were found on was no more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceived the whole world, was cast out into earth. And his angels were cast out with him. My son asked me, he said, Dad, if Satan was a bad angelical being, can he get right with God again? I like to ask questions, but y'all don't have to answer, but I was really trying to think about this, and I'm like, oh, how can I break this down with my son? I don't want to go over his head. So I was trying to break it down to him. I said, you know, understand one thing about Satan. I told him, my first answer would lead into my second answer. I said, now listen. I said, Satan cannot come back. I said, for one thing, because he is eternally corrupt. Because he's eternally corrupt, and there was no redeemer for him and his angels, he is eternally condemned. So therefore, which leads to my second question, we were once condemned. And God saw the condemnedness in us and brought someone down here to die for our sins. Yes. So therefore, we are redeemed by a redeemer.
Yes. Yes.
So we have a redeemer. He does not. That's the only reason why. He's eternally corrupt. I mean, I don't care how much. See, Satan can't do good. He just can't do it. He can't tell the truth. If it's not, it's half of a truth. Let me tell you. He'll say the sun is red, but it's not. He can't tell the truth. Satan has shown the businessman, the world, the fabulous cars, the home, the corner office, the prestige. Satan has shown and told the prostitute, if you give your body, I will give you a good life. But that way it ends up into drugs. It's body possession. Satan has shown the rap artist, the singer, I will give you the world. People will love you. People will applaud you. And your album will be the bestseller. It's nothing but just worship. Satan has shown the preacher, the priest, I will make your ministry great. I will get you billions of supporters. Just give them what they want. You'll perform miracles. You'll perform healing. You'll speak in tongues. But it's not the tongues of God. It's the tongues of demonic spirits. It's worship. Let me close by reading this scripture. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and the 12th verse says, you all know this. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and the 12th verse, it says, for we struggle not against the enemy, the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmos, the powers, the principalities, the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly places. That's our war. Satan has captured some homes. He is Lord of the homes. Got him into drugs, alcohol. But we have overcome him by the word that we speak over authority. We can speak words and angelical beings will move demonic spirits out of this realm. What do you think? Who do you think set Paul free in jail? It was an angelical being. Angelical beings are all through the Bible. They're there for you. Then you'll talk about, and can I say one more thing and I'm going to quit? Let me say this one last thing. Now we're going to talk about the creation of earth. And that's why I'm here. I think that once that God created his heavenly beings and let them go, let that happen, and once that Satan fell, and God begins to create the earth. And I think what happened was this drew attention to the angelical beings. They probably thought, what is he doing? Now he creates a world with plants. He creates a world with fruits and vegetables and sea and dry land and animals. And now he creates this man. And Satan thinks, now he creates man and put him authority over the earth. But I was trying to be God myself. Now he makes man have rulership over the earth. This is not right. Something's not right. He gave it to a lower being than us. I think it offended Satan. I think he got upset. Y'all got so much to say. Let us pray. Lord, today, today, oh, Father, we cast any ghosts of demonic spirits out of here, Father. Oh, Father, we allow the congregation to allow these creatures that you created, Father, the angelical hosts, to put them to work. Oh, Father, let them move in about our lives, Father. We welcome them in, Father. Oh, Father, we just thank you. We thank the Father for the Son, the Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you for being a part of us, Father. And we thank you in advance what you're about to do in someone's life, Father. In the name we pray, Father, we watch. We pray, Father, you watch over this church. We pray that you watch over our pastor and the words that he speaks. Encourage him as he encouraged us, Father. For you said in your word, Father, that you would be the wilderness. Angelical beings came down and encouraged.